Hi everyone, I'm Michelle Boyd Waters with the Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast. My guest today is Latara Venice with the Color Your Soul company. I've witnessed her ability and willingness to empower entrepreneurs to face their fears and eliminate barriers that hinder their business growth. So when I left the classroom and started thinking about how teachers need to rethink their lifestyles, I knew Latara is the person we need to hear from. She has the expertise and experience to help us rethink our mindsets and turn our business visions into reality. I can't wait to share her words of wisdom with you, so we'll be right back.
Are you ready to take control of your life? Then you've come to the right place. The Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast is here to help entrepreneurs like you start, grow, and scale the online business you love. Join host Michelle Waters as she shares her journey from the classroom to the freedom of being her own boss. She'll interview inspiring entrepreneurs and share tips and insights along the way. All right, without any further ado, let's get this show started.
Welcome back to the Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Boyd Waters, and I am super excited today to get to interview Latara Venice with the Color Your Soul company. Hi, Latara.
Hello, Michelle. Glad to be here.
I am so glad to have you here. We've had some opportunities once or twice over the years to connect, and that, you know, kind of did or didn't happen, but gosh, I have known you for how long now?
Oh my goodness. My youngest is 18. So at least 15 years.
Yep. My youngest is the same age. How did these kids grow up so quickly?
I don't know.
But yeah, we were both part of a community that I really appreciated because it talked about taking care of your customers and the people you're working with and yourself. And it was just such a great way to learn how to run a business.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah.
And so I'm wanting to share that concept with the teachers that I know who are wanting to start their own businesses. And so I've kind of been going through my metaphorical Rolodex and finding people that I know have built businesses that are sustainable because they've lasted a long time and that I know have, you know, people at the center or the heart of their businesses. And of course, you are one of the first people that I thought of.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that you thought of me and that I'm here to talk to all of the wonderful teachers. I love teachers. I really do.
And we appreciate that because we need people to love us right now. Before we start kind of with what your Color Your Soul company, could you tell us a little bit about your business history so we can understand where you're coming from?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've been an entrepreneur. My oldest son will be 30 this year. And when I had him, I didn't want to go back to work. So I've been an entrepreneur for a while. Now, in between that, his first 10 years of life, I did go back to corporate for a little while, but I always kind of had that thing on the side. When I got married in 2002 and moved to Chicago, I had an opportunity to get online and learn about the wonderful workings. I started out as a writer online through Faith Writers, I believe. It's still out around there. So I started there and I just kind of started finding people in some kind of way. I found Regina Baker, for those who know her.
Yep.
And when I found her, I started, like, you know how you start clicking links, right? I started clicking through links and then I found my masterminds and I was like, well, what is this? You know, and I said, working online, doing business. I said, what is this thing called online marketing? At the time it was internet marketing. What is this thing called internet marketing? And I started digging in. I learned about people like Alice Siva and Nicole Dean and Kelly McCauzie. And I was like, and they're making, you know, and what is her name? Lynn Terry. I was like, wait a minute.
Yes.
I said, she paid her house off? Hold up. Wait. Doing what? Affiliate marketing. So I just started digging. And I remember when I started as a VA of sorts. Actually, Kelly was one of the first ones to hire me to kind of do this work.
Oh, wow.
And I started as a VA and I was building out a blog for vegan families. Cause at the time I was married to a vegan and I had a blog and a magazine and I was just learning how this thing works.
I remember that.
Right. And how to put links in so that people, you know, purchase through your affiliate links. So I was learning all these different things. And over time, at the time, I think you remember, Michelle, we were building websites on, I can't remember. oh gosh, one of those, it was a Microsoft program years ago, right? And
Expression Engine or something.
Something like that. We were building on there, and I got introduced to WordPress when nobody was building websites on WordPress, right?
Yes.
And I remember I met a gentleman named Roy Montero, and he taught me how to build my website on WordPress. And he said, now you can make some more money. And I did, because nobody was doing it when I started. It was only a few hundred people doing it. People thought I was crazy, right? And I remember, because I remember Kelly McCauzy saying, you're doing what? I said, my website is on WordPress. So that's how I had the blog, yes, but I really began to grow with online entrepreneurship through building WordPress websites for people. And because back then, you knew, we had to do a lot of stuff on our own. There were no graphic artists. There were not a lot of graphic artists that were like, you know, VAs. There were no social media wasn't there.
It was me and Paint Shop Pro.
That's it, you know, and we had forms at the time. We didn't have Facebook and all these other things. And MySpace was known, but it was really small, you know? So I learned from there, and it just grew and it grew and it changed over time what I did, because that's the beauty of doing online marketing. You can shift a lot of different things in how you make money. And in 2009, I felt led to really begin coaching. And that's where I've been since 2009. I've been in the coaching industry. In some way. I started as a brand marketing coach. And now I'm doing what I call, I'm branding souls now. I'm branding souls and helping people to build their businesses healed and whole. So that's what I do now. And it's been a wonderful, I've been in business online for about 18 years. So I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. You just mentioned that you felt led to start coaching in 2009. And that was about the time that I felt led to start teaching, which teaching and coaching is kind of the same thing, but I decided to go to the public schools and kind of reach younger people and try to convince them to write and share with them and help them understand that they have their own stories and that they need to be the ones telling their story and that they can tell their story. But you know, it's as teachers, and those teachers out there listening to this will know it has gotten really, really difficult to do that, to do what you know you're supposed to do within the context, particularly of public schools. And so I decided this past year that it was time to step back into my entrepreneurial roots and figure out a different way to do things. And, you know, the big mantra right now is self-care. But I see that, you know, with your Color Your Soul company, you've got something else going on that's not just self-care.
Right. I actually just put a post on Facebook that if you are focused on soul self-care and you're not doing soul care, then you're missing the point, because self-care is, it's self-focus, self-care. It's self-focused. Yeah. It's focused on things that we like want or desire, or, you know, it's focused on vanity things too. Like you think about, I need a bath with a candle, which is hygiene, but at the same time, it's really about you, or going to get your nails done, or, you know, what, telling the kids, give me 15 minutes, you know, or I need to go have my time. But what soul care does is soul care is a healing process, because, you know, when we're born, pretty much babies are born whole. They're born whole. And over time, life begins to kind of ding us, and our soul becomes kind of filled with things that cause our souls to get holes in it. And we're like, we're missing something. We're sad. We're dealing with emotional stuff that we really don't know how to handle or even really deal with. And so with soul care, what it does is it helps you to really meet those emotional aspects of who you are and those mental aspects, because emotionally we react mentally. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that, is that the heart is smarter than the brain, and it tells the brain how to behave. This is scientifically proven. I've been studying this for some years now, like, oh my God, I knew I was right about this, but our soul misses so much and is often really cluttered. And what I do with the Color Your Soul company, one of the things we do is we help people kind of really focus on the specific areas in life we think on. And there's only four that we think on, and that's faith and spirit, love and relationships, health and wellness, and wealth and career. We don't think outside of those four areas. That's our life. That's it.
Yeah.
And so we really help people to kind of really dig in to, you know, who are you? And not just through coaching. I have counselors that I refer people out to. I have a certification program where I help people to really see how to walk people through their process of healing by first themselves walking through processes of healing. So it really is, soul care is about those parts of you that need to be healed, so that then when you do the self-care, it becomes more effective, right? It's like it really means something, because otherwise self-
It's not just a Band-Aid.
It's just not, right. And it's not, you know, it's not a Band-Aid. It's not self-gratifying. I mean, for me, self-care is grabbing me a glass of wine and sitting down and watching a movie, but that's temporary, right? But when I'm dealing with something, say like I lost my sister and my cousin in a 10-day period last month, and I had to really dig into my tools and my resources to be able to go, okay, where am I at? What's going on? I know I'm grieving, but what does the grief come from? Right. So these are the type of things that Soul Care helps you to really be able to do it, and it helps you to heal. So you're whole. And when you're whole, you function so much better in life. You really do.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned grief, because that's kind of something that's on my heart right now. You know, teachers experience a lot of grief, but there's not much information out there about how teachers can deal with or work through their grief, because a lot of it is, you know, like when we lose students. I had a teacher just recently post in my forum about how she's had some students who committed suicide, and as teachers, we're not perceived as somebody who's close enough to really be affected by that. And yet we are. We're affected when, you know, students just, you know, leave our classes, you know, they move away. And then, of course, there's the whole angle of, you know, teachers that are leaving the classroom. And so that's kind of a loss of identity. So, you know, we lose people, we lose our identity. You know, how do we handle that?
You know, and that's the thing. You said a couple of things. Grief runs on many levels. It's not just about death. You know, it's about really the death of anything that happens, you know, a person, a place, or a thing. And, you know, how do you deal with that when you lose a job or you lose a student? I remember when my nephew was one of my youngest nephews, he was murdered when he was 16. And I remember his teacher from the sixth grade, I think it was, reaching out to me and saying, I need to be at the funeral because he meant so much to me. I never thought I would be contacted by a teacher, but it wasn't just one teacher, it was teachers. And the principal of the high school he went to. And, you know, they were having these conversations. They were deeply affected, you know, and even that teacher to this day, she and I are Facebook friends, and we're connecting on other levels because of her connection to my nephew. And I didn't want to disregard that. And in my family, we don't do things like that. We knew it meant something to her. And I think that teachers need to understand that. And I think too, it's not where we don't, or someone who's lost a loved one doesn't think that a teacher is not necessarily important. It's that they don't reach out like Miss Carone did. That's her name. Miss Monday.
Yeah.
Miss Monday. Like Miss Monday did. And when Miss Monday reached out, it let us know, wow, my nephew, you remember him all the way from when he was a kid, you know, in elementary.
Yeah.
So it just was, it really meant a lot. And I think that one of the biggest issues in grief is there's a lack of communication. We stop talking when we grieve. We can't do that. We can't stop talking when we grieve. Because of all of the grief my family has gone through, even just since 2015, we've learned a lot about communicating and saying what's going on with us. See, that's another thing too, because teachers are taught to kind of, you know, keep it all together, you know, don't let anybody see you down. But if you're not okay, you're not okay. If you're hurting, you're hurting. If you need some time to breathe, you need some time to breathe. And this is why one of the things I really want to do over the years with the Color Your Soul Company is help organizations and businesses and schools put rooms in that are dedicated not to self-care, but soul care. So that when somebody needs a moment, they can go have a moment. When somebody, especially your staff, your employees, because we expect people to show up you know, like I'm happy, 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 but I'm not happy. We had a fire and my nephew was murdered 8 days later. The nephew that was murdered, his father was murdered some years back. In that moment was when I learned I can't go. I remember we learned this at church about my nephew. It was a week after the fire. We learned this at church. And I remember when I came to church the following Sunday, people said, "How are you?" And I didn't say, "I'm okay." I said, "I'm not good, but I know I will be okay. But right now, I'm not there." And that's when I began this process of, wait a minute, there's something emotionally missing. I'll just say missing in us when we grieve, because we're supposed to show up like everything is okay. But that hurts our souls even worse. And then we get bigger holes and bigger dings in our soul. And we're trying to figure out why we can't get it together, why we have to keep going to counselors. And I love counselors, but any good counselor will tell you that their goal is to get a client prepared for life and move forward within like a year to two. That's it. They don't want long-term clients. Their goal is to get you healed. And so if you have to keep going back over and over and over again about the same problem, then there's something emotionally you're not dealing with. And most counselors don't deal with emotions. They deal with the mental part. And right. This is why it's so important that we begin to have these conversations and we give open space to people. Both of my boys during that period, they dealt with a bunch of stuff. Both of them dealt with thoughts of suicide, especially my oldest when he lost his cousin. You know, he was like, "Why am I here? What's the purpose?" My youngest, when we had issues with his father and had to end up going to court, and I ended up getting sole custody. And he felt like if I wasn't here, my parents wouldn't be doing this fighting. So I had to really learn a lot through counselors, through coaching, you know, through doing the work and studying about the heart and brain connection, and then having these conversations with my kids. And it has benefited us so much that what we're doing now is we're helping other families who maybe, like I'm helping a lot of single mothers now who are mothers of boys, and they need to understand the mother-son connection. And then how did you get to where you are, and how did your boys get to where they are? It was communication that did it more than anything else, and being okay with not being okay.
I think those are two very important concepts for everybody, but also for teachers in particular, is mm-hmm. recognizing and being able to admit that you're not okay, mm-hmm. and then communicating, because those are two things that, you know, teachers really struggle with, is not, you know, putting on that "I'm okay" hat and keeping on and continuing to go, because the structure of our systems encourage us to do that. But then, you know, we often don't know how to communicate. Sometimes we're afraid to communicate, you know, how is somebody going to respond to us? On the flip side of that, we also, and I talked about this in a previous episode, we tend to feel guilty. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're not perfect, when we're not on all the time, we feel guilty.
Mm-hmm. You know, society has done that to us. Society has taught us how to feel guilty and shame when we don't feel okay, right? You know, think about it from childhood. And here's the thing I've learned about emotional maturity, because that's what we're talking about here too. Mm-hmm. Emotional maturity can only happen if you are raised up in emotional maturity homes. The average adult is not emotionally mature. You may be grown, but your emotions are all over the place. You don't know how to handle them. Mm-hmm. So here's what happens when we grow up as kids. We hear things like, what? "Suck it up. What you crying for?" You know, mm-hmm. "Oh, don't be a crybaby." And we hear these things from the adults in our lives. And so what happens is it becomes ingrained in us. Or we go to school and we cry. What do the teachers tell us? Or we go to the doctor and, you know, they say, "What are you crying for? It's not going to hurt, blah, blah, blah." Well, guess what? If I want to cry, I can cry. Just go on and give me the shot. Yep. But if I want to cry, yep. I can cry. You know, we don't give people permission to have emotions. So therefore, they become stagnant. They become one of two things. They either become a ball of emotions and not know how to handle them, right? Or they become these walls who still can't handle emotions. Either end, whether you're real stoic and just tight and mean and have these walls, or whether you're a sappy wuss and you just cry the whole time. Either way, you can't handle your emotions. There has to be a balance there. And the balance doesn't start with mind over matter. The balance starts when you deal with the issues in your heart. That's emotional.
talking about emotional maturity and trying to, you know, deal with your grief and dealing with your feelings of guilt. All of that needs to be dealt with, or you need to know how to handle all of that, you know, when you step out of the classroom and before you start, you know, your an online business adventure, because otherwise you're going to kind of end up in a lot of the same mess because you're not going to have the right boundaries. What is your advice for that? And what can your company do for teachers who are looking at making that adjustment or making that shift, or just, you know, need somebody to help them through all those feelings that they have stuffed inside?
One of the things that I have learned over the years is we've been taught, and you know this, we've been taught mind over matter, mind over matter, your mindset matters, your mindset matters. But here's the thing, in the studying that I've done about the heart, it is such a fantastic science to learn. The heart tells the brain how to think, and the brain tells the mouth and the body how to behave as a result. So the key is to really understand your emotions. And one, again, what we do is we dig into those four core areas and look at where there may be, because what happens with those four core areas I mentioned earlier, faith and spirit, love, relationships, health and wellness, and wealth and career, what happens is we have irons going in each one. We have irons in the fire in each one, right? But what happens is that sometimes the irons are, let's use spaghetti. I love to use spaghetti because, you know, it can get messy. You know, yes. when you eat spaghetti, it's like, it's never orderly. It's always tangled. It's always tangled. It's only in order when it's dry. That's the only time you have some order from spaghetti. But once you break it up and put it in the water, it becomes soft and it begins to just, you know, kind of become a mangled, wonderful mess that we put sauce on and eat. We can't think like that. That's dangerous. But we often think like spaghetti, and everything comes together. And so one of the things that we do is we help you to kind of take those pieces apart and let it begin to make some sense, right? Because all the areas have to integrate, but they can't be jumbled with clutter. So I walk people through this process of decluttering that leads them to a space of clarity. And when they get clear, they begin to see, oh, wait a minute, I gained those 100 pounds because I was in this miserable marriage. That's my story, y'all. I gained this because, oh, well, because when he would tell me he didn't love me, or when I had these issues, I would tell my son to go down the street and get me a pint of Häagen-Dazs ice cream. I was emotionally eating the issues that I was having in relationships, and I wasn't dealing with. That's the spaghetti. That's the mass mess. So my health became affected. And not only that, Michelle, my business was affected. I was losing money because I was losing clients because my relationship wasn't right. I'm over here just focused on emotional eating, and I just want to lay up in my bed all day because I'm depressed. And so guess what? That's going to affect the area of wealth and career. And then I thought God hated me. I was like, you got to hate me to put me in this, but I put myself in that. So, but that didn't come until I began to kind of declutter all of the mass mess that was causing my life to spiral out of control. And unfortunately, because I know so many teachers, I see it in many teachers. So that is what we do, is we walk you through a process of decluttering your clutter so that you begin to think more clearly. Because listen, again, I know a lot of teachers, a lot of them, my daughter-in-law is a teacher. You know, she's a teacher. And right now she's in a process where she knows when she has the baby, she's pregnant, and she's like, I don't want to go back to work. So I want to be home with my child, especially for the formative years. And so she's trying to figure all that out now. Her and my son are having these conversations about what that looks like and how they're going to do it, you know, but thank God that she has me to be able to sit down with, or for my son to talk to me about, well, mom, what do you think about this? And how does this go? And how does that go? And me to help them. Because see, my son has gone through the process. He is a client. Both of my sons were clients of the Color Your Soul company. And so he's able to help her decipher and declutter all of the mass mess, you know, because when you're pregnant, your brain already don't think straight. So you don't need all of them, right? So it's just this, it's just this whole process of doing it. And it's not an easy work. And that's why a lot of people don't want to do the work of becoming emotionally mature, because it's not easy, because you're not going to see everybody else's stuff. you're going to see yours. But if you don't see your stuff, you can't heal. That's one of the biggest things. You can't heal. And so that's the process we walk you through so that you can heal. And it is a process you can use over and over and over again once you learn it.
So for those teachers that are listening, you know, and me, and we're thinking, hey, I've got a mess of spaghetti in my head and my heart and my life, and I need help dealing with this. What do you recommend?
Well, I recommend a number of things. The first thing that I always recommend is that people get a journal and just begin to just kind of brain dump, because we don't do that enough. Uh-huh. Don't sit and write about what your child did today, how you feel about your husband. Don't do that. Just brain dump whatever is there, right? You know, have a journal dedicated to that. You know, another thing is really learning how to see what's in those four areas, you know, faith and spirit. Where am I at with that? Love and relationships. What's going on in my relationships? And the other two areas, let me tell you how I set my goals every month. The beginning of every month, I sit down and I write down these areas: love and relation, faith and spirit, love relationships, health and wellness, and wealth and career. And then I go, okay, what do I want to accomplish in each of these areas? And then I look to see how they connect so that I'm still walking whole, right? So if I want to say I want to add more exercise this month, I'm adding more weightlifting into my regimen. And if I want to do that, you know, then how does it help my household? Well, then guess what? I'm stronger. I'm more focused, because when you're working out, it brings the right chemicals to your brain and your heart so that your body is moving well. So I'm more available to my family. So learning how to look at those four areas is really key. And you know what? And then just contact the Color Your Soul company. Just jump on over to my website and let's connect and talk about what's going on with you. I'm developing a program, and I'm quite sure Michelle and I will talk about that. But, you know, I love teachers, and I want teachers to be whole. And as a teacher, the best thing you can do is be a whole person for your students and for yourself and for your family, whatever that may look like. And so learning how to find that balance in the midst of all of those are my suggestions.
That sounds great. And I know we talked earlier, you know, during our pre-interview, you had said something about, you know, maybe like a 30-day soul care training just for teachers. And, you know, if we could get, you know, 10 teachers to sign up for that, or sign up onto a wait list for that or waiting list for that, then it's something that you would be willing to put together. Can you tell us more about that possibility?
Yes, I am. In the conversations that Michelle and I had, one of the things that I told her that I would be willing to do is develop, or actually take one of my current programs and put it for educators. So I do a program, it's called the Soul Detox, right? But, and really what that does, Soul Detox declutters. So it is really a 21-day process that I can turn into 30 days, so that each week there are dedicated assignments. There are lessons that you receive via video or audio, and you'll get assignments to that to help you declutter through the process of all of the mass mess of spaghetti, so that you can, it can be just wonderfully clear to you what your next steps are. And it'll be really beneficial, because what a soul detox does is it really begins to kind of bring up the deepest point of pain for you. And let me say this, when I say pain, you know, I don't mean where you're going to be like distraught and devastated. That's not what I mean. But the deepest place that's causing the most clutter in your life, right? So we would look at each week, we would also look at each of those four areas, and there will be a focus on each of those areas every week to help you declutter the areas, so that at the end of the process, you're able to see, you're able to create what I call your soul health plan. Like, this is my soul health plan, where you have boundaries and action steps, intentional action steps, right? One of the things as teachers we don't have are, I'm a teacher too, but not like that. I'm an unconventional teacher, y'all. But one of the things that people don't do, especially teachers, we don't have boundaries. So what do those boundaries look like? But you won't understand the boundaries until you begin to get clear, right? Like, let's say, for example, here's a boundary for me. My values, and that's something we look at too. My values are faith, family, sanity, integrity, and abundance. And I always use the example of sanity, because I know what it's like to be on the other side of sanity. I've been insane. I've had the nervous breakdown. This is the month when in 2008, I tried to take my life. Listen, I'm not just doing this because I want to. This has been my experience. This was my life. And now I walk whole and healed as a result of the work that I did. So if I know that sanity is a value for me, when I'm looking in each of those areas and I begin to see kind of insanity happening, I need to stop and gain some clarity. So I have a boundary of, if there is confusion or clutter, I back away until I understand, or I ask the questions if it's a person causing it. I ask questions to get clarity so that I don't go insane again, because I know what that's like. So does that make sense?
Absolutely. That makes total sense.
Yes. So that's the kind of work we would do together. So when you walk out, it's almost like you take the work and you put it in a binder. You're like, this is my soul care tool. That's what you'll have.
So this is not that professional development where you go sit down and, or you download the resources and you're like, this has nothing to do with me. This is everything to do with you. This isn't busy work. This isn't that one more thing that, you know, your school gives you. This is something that you need to prioritize because it's about you and about your health.
Yes. Yes, it is. And here's the thing, is that your mental health and your soul health is going to directly affect your physical health. Period.
Yep.
Period. I lost 130 pounds to date. And it was because of the work I did mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And I began to see myself different. And I was like, you know what? I love myself enough to say, let me take care of my body. And the reason why I've been able to keep it off, I've been working out consistently for almost 2 years. That's not me.
Yep.
I mean, consistently, because I understand the importance of who I am, and I have identified myself through the work I've done, and I see why I have to show up and I have to be healthy.
What I'm hearing from everything that you're saying is that, you know, you've got to be able to step back, take a look at what is going on in your life, and then make the changes necessary to take care of your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so, teachers, if you are listening to this and you're realizing that's where I'm at, that's what I need to do, please go to rethinkyourlifestyle.com at Soul Care Waitlist and sign up. And once we have 10 people on that list, I'll communicate that to Latara and she'll get that training put together and we'll let you know when it's available. And that way you can get yourself taken care of. You can go through that process and be that whole person that you are capable of being.
Yeah, it's important.
Well, Latara, you have given me so much to think about and our listeners so much to think about as well. I'm hoping that they will, you know, sign up and be a part of this and start that journey of healing. But I just wanted to thank you so much for being here and for sharing with us.
Thank you so much for allowing me to come. I am super excited at the opportunity to work with teachers, with people who are in the education field, just to be able to help you to begin to see yourself as valuable and so Yes. important, so very important, not only to your students, but to the world.
Again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Teachers, are you stuck in a space that isn't working for you anymore? Maybe you've been teaching for 10, 20, or even 30 years. You love the idea of being a classroom teacher, but the space is shrinking so much you can barely breathe. It's time you rethink your lifestyle and take care of yourself. Start with a teacher's guide to getting out of your comfort zone journal, which includes more than 70 quotes, affirmations, and writing prompts to help you make the leap out of your comfort zone. Get your copy at rethinkyourlifestyle.com/teacher. Comfort Zone Journal.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast, where you learn how to be your own boss. Have questions about starting, growing, or scaling your business? You can ask us anything. Just fill out the form at www.rethinkyourlifestyle.com/askmeanything. And Michelle will answer your burning entrepreneurial questions in an upcoming episode. Also, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We'll catch you next time.